Leaders are all around us at all times and in every area of our lives. They motivate, they risk the first step, but what motivates a leader? In our Central Texas Leadership Series, KWBU has invited local leaders to talk with people they know who guide and inspire to find out what makes them tick. In this episode, Ian McCaw, Director of Athletics for Baylor University. Hosting the conversation is Will May, Dean of Baylor University's School of Music.
Our listeners may wonder immediately why a music guy is interviewing an athletics guy. Two separate worlds in most people's minds, I think. But as Ian and I have discussed often in the past, the truth of the matter is that the central focus of both our jobs is on young people who can do things that normal people simply cannot do. For Ian, that might be the tall forward who can shoot a basketball with extraordinary consistency, and for me, it might be a diminutive violinist who can play an extraordinarily difficult passage flawlessly. But both of us play leadership roles with people, faculty, coaches, staff, and students who are amazingly skilled at what they do, I believe. So today we focus on this in the Leadership in Central Texas series and on Ian McCaw, a leader now engaged in one of the most remarkable periods of athletic success in Baylor's history. Congratulations on that, Ian. Some may think that's a sudden development, but I believe it's not.
Well, I think that's true. Well, there's been a lot of work put in by so many people over the course of the years, great coaches, administrators, and student-athletes. And you're right, the one thing you and I have in common is we're around some very special, talented young people each and every day, and it really is a privilege and a blessing to watch them develop and watch them their talents be exposed to the world.
I fully agree. And So for the next 30 minutes or so, we're going to see if we can discuss the role that leadership plays in what we do. And so let's take a look back for a little bit. You came to Baylor in 2003. I seem to recall writing you an email long about 2005 or so after the women's basketball team had won the national championship and the tennis team had won a national championship. And I believe the email, as I recall, said, no national championships. Ian McCaw arrives at Baylor, and now we are enjoying a series of them. There must be a cause and effect relationship here. And I believe that cause and effect relationship is true. And so you grew up in Canada, which I don't think many people probably realize, and attended Laurentian University in Ontario. And at that point in your life, apparently you already had your sights set on sports management, having majored in that as an undergraduate. What thoughts were going through your mind at that point in time as far as your role as a leader in sports?
Well, I was able to discern at a fairly young age that I was not going to be able to make a living with my athletic talents, unlike some of our student athletes here at Baylor University. So I knew I was going to have to channel my passion for sports in a different way. And I always had a very strong interest in business and wanted to try to find a way to combine my passions for business and sport into one. And so I was fortunate to be able to attend Laurentian University, as you mentioned, and that's the only school in Canada that offers sport management. And as a result of that, I was able to really get into this field and determine this is something that I thought was my calling, where I would spend my career. And initially, I had an opportunity to work in professional sports in the National Hockey League, which was a dream of mine growing up in Canada. And up there, they give you ice skates before they give you running shoes. So you need to hockey is very important in the culture in Canada. And so after working in the National Hockey League for a while, I really it became clear to me I did not want to work in professional sports. I saw it as being very selfish culture. Everybody was in it for themselves, and there's a lot of money, and I just really was not comfortable with that setting. And so I really gravitated at that point to college athletics, because I just really believe in the opportunity to provide young people an opportunity to get a great education, to grow socially, and also here at Baylor to grow spiritually as well. So that's something that motivates me each day to come to work.
It's in the fall of 2003 you came here in one of what might be described as one of Baylor's darkest days as far as athletics are concerned. And I know there were people around at the time, including me, who would wonder why in the world anyone would have taken this job at that time, because we were struggling very much with scandalous situations with the coaching staff and the players, and it was really a dark time. In comes Ian McCaw, and I'm not the only one who thought, what is he thinking? Why would he take this job? You'd made stops at Tulane and Northeastern University, so you were well on your way career-wise, so Why Baylor and why at that time?
Well, I'd always have my eye on Baylor Will because I'm Baptist and always thought it would be an exciting opportunity to work in a Baptist university, a Christian environment. And so that was very appealing. And, when I saw what Baylor went through, I just felt that's a place that needs some help, and there's an opportunity to grow that program and become very successful over time. And then secondly, I'm inspired by challenges, and I get motivated when I see progress. I get motivated when I see a tremendous challenge. And I think someone once said, if you're looking for a great opportunity, first find a big challenge. And certainly that presented itself back in 2003. But we were fortunate. We had a lot of great pieces in place. A lot of great coaches were already in place at Baylor, and we were able to bring in some others and be very strategic in terms of how we moved our program forward, and we're just grateful for the progress that's taken place.
There are probably many who don't know exactly what you do. I mean, you're sort of a behind-the-scenes guy. They see you on the sidelines at games. The coaches and the players are in the spotlight. They know there's an organizational structure of some kind back there, but it's as I say with the music students who come in. Some of them view me as being in the principal's office. Describe for you, if you will, what a day in the life of Ian McCaw as athletic director is like. What kind of major responsibilities come your way on a regular basis?
Well, Will, that's one of the things I really enjoy about my job is that no 2 days are the same. It's a very diverse job, a lot of varying responsibilities. But, first of all, the athletic department it's a large enterprise. We have 160 staff members. We have about 450 student athletes among 19 different sports. And so it's a large enterprise. The budget's approximately $60 million. So in some ways, it's like managing a medium-sized business. And what I really do is focus in five areas and delegate everything else to the wonderful people I have working with me. But I focus on, first, the student-athlete experience, making sure we're providing a good academic, athletic, social, and spiritual experience for our student-athletes. That's at the core of what we do and the most important thing we focus on. Second thing is personnel, make sure that we have the right people in the right seats. And we're blessed to have tremendous coaches, administrators, and support staff in the athletic department. And I'm just grateful for all those people we have a chance to work with each day. Third area is managing the politics. And, of course, you're familiar with a university environment, very complicated set of politics. We relate to regents and administration and faculty, staff, students, alumni, donors, and media partners. And so there's a variety of constituents to work with. And so managing all of those politics is something that we focus on quite a bit. The fourth area is resource acquisition. To fund that $60 million budget, we do need to generate a lot of resources, and we do that through fundraising and selling tickets and selling apparel and corporate sponsorship and a variety of other endeavors to generate those dollars. And so that's a big part of our job. And then the fifth area is facilities. We need to have high-quality facilities because that really is a tremendous differentiator for prospective student athletes and their families when they're making a decision about what school to attend. So we've worked hard to build facilities at Baylor that that are in keeping with the quality of the institution.
You're listening to Leadership in Central Texas on KWBU. I'm Will May, the Dean of the Baylor School of Music, and my guest today is Ian McCaw, Director of Athletics at Baylor University. And in my humble judgment, Ian, in all of those five areas that you just described, we've made major strides during the last 10 or 11 years. Let's talk first of that list about the personnel side of things. And just as I have a group of musicians on my faculty that are absolutely passionate about what they're doing to the degree that theirs is really the only thing that I should focus my attention on. That's perhaps a little unfair, but they're passionate about what they're doing, and I wouldn't have it any other way. So here in the limelight, we have a set of coaches, and they are passionate coaches, and they are very visible coaches, and they are very, very focused on their own programs. So how does that work in your life? Channeling those passions in a very positive way, I would think.
Well, we do. We pair coaches to be myopic and focus on their sport, and they do. They're passionate. They pour a tremendous amount of time and energy into it. You know, I think our listeners would be amazed at the number of hours these coaches work. I mean, it would not be uncommon for our men's basketball staff, you know, to leave the office at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, go home, drop their kids off at school, and be back in at 8 or 8:30 the next day. So, and that's just one example. I could go through all 19 sports, but our coaches invest a tremendous amount of time and energy and passion into their sport. And if you don't love what you're doing, you're not going to be successful in college athletics. So, that is critical. And you know, it really relates to we were talking about personnel just a moment ago. Personnel decisions are the most important thing I do, and I like to cite Jim Collins. Wrote Good to Great and Built to Last. You have to have the right people on the bus, and you have to get the right people off the bus. And that's the most important thing we do, is making those personnel decisions, making sure we have the right leadership in place in each of those coaching positions, because my job is really easy if I have the right coaches in all 19 sports. If I don't have the right coaches in some of those sports, my job can get very difficult very quickly.
And what's the most difficult decision that you've had to make in that regard while you've been at Baylor?
Well, probably the one that had the most pressure associated would have been hiring a head football coach 4 years ago and going through that search process. I remember it well. It was a 10-day search, and that's kind of a common time frame for football coaching searches.
That's miraculous to someone like me who it's, you know, more commonplace to maybe spend 10 months on a search than 10 days on a search for a faculty member.
Right, and of course the intensity with the media watching and the alumni, and I did receive plenty of advice during those 10 days as to what I needed to be doing. I lost 8 pounds, had a death threat. I mean, it was a very intense experience, but obviously the most important thing was the outcome, and we're just so fortunate to have Art Browse as our head football coach and the job he's done turning around the football program and building Baylor into a winning program, a bowl winner this year, 10-win season, and developing a Heisman Trophy winner along the way. Just a tremendous credit to him.
From a fan standpoint, and I'm one of the greatest fans, it was a wonderful season. And to watch that pass in the Oklahoma game at the end of the game, I'm a Baylor alum. I've been following Baylor sports since 1965, and I remember the days when, you know, we set a record for the most losses in a season because the NCAA extended the season by one game from 10 to 11. And so from those days, it's been difficult sometimes to be a Baylor fan, but for those people whose blood flows green and gold, and there are many out there, this season was marvelous, and And that single moment in the Oklahoma game was just one of the all-time thrills in Baylor athletic history, for sure. In keeping with the discussion about hiring Art Briles, how you must have spent hours on the phone during that time period to talk with all the people that you needed to talk with, not the political ones that you needed to talk to, the regents who wanted updates or whomever, but just to have conversations with everyone that one has to have in making a good hire, even in the music school or in athletics. That's an enormous amount of time spent on the phone in a very short period of time. I find that 10-day amazing.
Well, it really is. It's unique, and it is fast-paced. Now, you know, any good athletic director is going to have a short list going into a search process like that, and we did, and we had a number of names on it. And, you know, we had to – what you have to do, and because of, the time intensity related to a football search, is you have to vet a lot of names very quickly. And we were able to do that, and, you know, we can count on great people like Grant Taff and many others who provided great counsel and advice and discernment through that process, which really helped us. And but it was interesting when we actually met with Art Briles, who was Todd Podolsky, myself, and Bob Bodine, who is the search consultant we had working with us. I really knew after 5 or 10 minutes he was the man to be our head football coach. And he one of the first things I always look for is character, and just a person of great character, integrity, obviously very skilled coach, successful at the University of Houston in turning around a program. And we need somebody with experience turning around a program, a tremendous recruiter, dynamic personality, intelligence, and a fit for Baylor. And the thing that really I thought was one of the most important things was a passion to come to Baylor and take on this challenge, because, you know, several had gone before him without success. And quite honestly, Baylor was not viewed at that time as a glamorous football job. It was the job he wanted. And that passion
and
was important.
Several coaches with wonderful credentials coming to Baylor.
Yes, right. Yeah.
So let's focus on that character notion for a moment. In these times of collegiate athletics, and there's big money, big pressure, big media attention, all the things that are wonderful ingredients in their ability to corrupt. I would think that in seeking a Baylor coach, the notion of character has to rise way up to the top of the list, and particularly in these days when it appears, at least to the public, that corruption is such a widespread issue, to have someone like Robert Griffin come through our program and the character traits that he makes so obvious every time in his every time he speaks has to be that's a shining light for collegiate athletics today, and I wonder what those character traits, you know, what's the most important of those character traits that you would look for in yourself. Mm-hmm. And look for in leadership within the athletic program at Baylor.
Right. Well, it's a great question. You know, our formula that we talk about in the athletic department is we're always looking for the three C's, first being character, second being competence, and third being chemistry or fit. Those are the three things that we look for whenever we hire any position in the athletic department. But you're right, and it really is critical that the leaders that we hire, the head coaches, the senior administrators, are people who have great character. And to me, that means they're honest, they're trustworthy, they're very dedicated to what they do, and because those people are going to be charged with hiring the assistant coaches and hiring the lower level administrators and recruiting the student athletes who are going to represent us. And, you know, good character begets you good character.
Right.
And that's really the key is, as I go back to, if I've got the 19 right head coaches in place, my job's going to be easy because they're going to hire the right assistants, they're going to recruit the right kind of student athletes to come to Baylor, and those programs will thrive. Conversely, if we don't have the right people and character, we can really find ourselves to be in trouble.
And what do you say to those 19 head coaches in this atmosphere of collegiate athletics that we live in today? And you know, they look around and they see all the news stories about all the missteps that right. are taken. What do you say to them?
Well, that's one of the things we do, actually, Will, is we remind them, you know, anytime there's a problem, a scandal, an issue at another school, we actually send that around departmentally and just remind people, you know, school A had this problem, and school B had this problem, and school C had that and had the other problem. And really what it is, it's a reminder that there's a lot of eyes on you at all times if you're representing Baylor University, and you need to be beyond reproach in all of your dealings and all of your interactions. And, you know, our people are not perfect. We're going to make mistakes like anybody else, but we really do focus people on being aware that they're watched, and there's little kids looking up to you, and there's a lot of people that take great pride in how you represent the university. So you need to do it with the utmost integrity.
And there are many, many eyes on the student athletes. The compliance documents alone, I think one of the members of the athletic council showed me once upon a time the NCAA's compliance book, if you will, the rules for student athletes, and it's enormous. That's an extraordinary pressure on a young person to realize that there are so many rules about what you can and cannot do in your daily lives that normal people don't have to operate under.
We're actually in the most highly regulated subsector of higher education in athletics. And you're right, the compliance manual is 438 pages long. There's just a almost infinitesimal amount of rules that need to be followed. And you know, we just try to sum it up with do the right thing. And one of the things that Coach Briles mentions often is that he likes recruiting players from small towns because they've had a lot of eyes on them their whole life. And those type of people, they're used to being in the spotlight. And that's what our student athletes have to be accustomed to. They're being watched, you know, around the clock just about every day, and they need to consistently make the right decisions. They're not perfect, and if they do something wrong, we'll address it with them and hope they'll do better next time. But it is a very highly regulated area.
I'm talking with Ian McCaw, the Director of Athletics here at Baylor University. I'm Will May, the Dean of the Baylor School of Music, and we appreciate those of you who are listening to KWBU's radio series, Leadership in Central Texas. The relationship between Baylor Athletics and Waco and Central Texas and actually now on a national scale, and now that the spotlight has greatly shifted in recent months, what do you perceive as your leadership role in those relationships? Apparently, that's probably in your development and politics core of duties, but where do you see yourself in fitting in that milieu?
Well, that's a great question. You know, one of the things that I'm very encouraged by is I don't think the relationship between Baylor and Waco or Central Texas has ever been better than it is right now.
I agree fully with that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Judge Starr deserves a lot of credit, and really all of our leaders on campus have done a wonderful job, you know, building relationships. And we view that as a big part of our responsibility in athletics because I think we have a unique ability to help connect with the community because we do draw the citizens of Waco and Central Texas to the Farrell Center or Floyd Casey Stadium or whatever it may be to our athletic contests. And We've worked hard to build relationships with the business community. We have something called the Baylor Spirit Program, where we actually have 850 businesses that are displaying posters and schedule cards and signage representing Baylor throughout the community. And we've really worked hard to try to create the college atmosphere throughout the city of Waco. And I think that's been a healthy relationship both ways. And then certainly, you know, beyond the scope of Waco and Central Texas, athletics does have a unique ability to brand the university nationally through media exposure, and whether it's television or the Sports Illustrated story that came out this winter, or New York Times stories, whatever it may be, we can really help the university with its reach, with its connection to the world, to the country, and the marketing and branding benefits that accrue to the university are extremely valuable. And we were talking just before we came on the air today that we're trying to estimate what the value of that is to the university. And I think John Barry's been tasked with doing that. But, you know, our preliminary estimate is probably somewhere between $200 and $500 million worth of marketing value that's been attracted to Baylor University as a result of the exposure and success of athletics this year. So that's something that we do focus on.
And all of us in the Baylor community appreciate that. So now we venture into the new Big 12. The Big 12 music executives get together once a year and steal each other's ideas and all of those things. We've already welcomed our colleagues from West Virginia and TCU into our little band of music execs and welcomed them very openly. What's the forecast for the newly shaped Big 12?
You know, I wish I knew, Will. After the last two summers, I'm not making a lot of predictions on conference realignment. It's been very surprising to go through what we've gone through in the last 2 years. But, you know, I do think we're likely to remain a 10-team conference. I think TCU and West Virginia are wonderful additions, certainly very competitive programs. And, you know, but I can't say that there won't be further expansion. I do think we're in a stable period. All 10 schools have signed a grant of their television rights through 2018, which are really a real solid set of handcuffs that's going to keep the 10 of us together through 2018. Whether we add to that number between now and then remains to be seen, but I do feel very good about the Big 12 and the stability of our core group of 10 at this point.
Tom Landry is often quoted, his leadership quote is this. He said, "Leadership is getting someone to do what they don't want to do, to achieve what they want to achieve." Tom Landry, of course, the longtime coach of the Dallas Cowboys. If you were giving your advice to our listeners out there about leadership qualities, and perhaps if there's a young person out there who sees themselves on a path maybe toward sports leadership, what would you say to that audience today?
Well, there are, first of all, a lot of different leadership styles and a lot of different ways to lead. But one of the things I try to encourage young leaders to do is make sure you're doing a great job of leading yourself. Because a lot of people say, I don't have a staff to supervise, or I don't have people that are, you know, responsible to me. Well, you know what you do? You do a great job of leading yourself. And if people see you doing the right things, they're going to know you're capable of leading others. So that's some of the advice I tend to give. But leading people is really, it's motivating them, it's inspiring them, it's encouraging them to do the right thing and to achieve an outcome. So I think Coach Landry's definition is a very good one.
Have you experienced some things in your leadership role here that have completely surprised you, that have just unexpected?
You know, no question. I mean, I think that's one of the things you need to be prepared for as a leader, Will, is that things are not always going to go as planned, and you need to hope for the best, prepare for the worst, and be willing to adjust when needed. So that's one of the things I do. And I've been fortunate to have some great mentors, you know, through the years who've helped me a great deal. And also I enjoy studying leadership and have a lot of kind of leadership heroes, John Maxwell, Bill Hybels, Jim Collins, and others. And that's one of the things that I try to focus myself on, is to help me be the best leader I can be for the athletic department. And hopefully some of that will trickle down to our people.
You've been listening to Leadership in Central Texas, KWBU's leadership series. I'm your host, Will May, and I'm Dean of the School of Music here at Baylor, and our guest today has been the incomparable Ian McCaw, Director of Athletics here at Baylor. Thanks for listening.
This conversation was recorded in the KWBU studios on March 6, 2012.